Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's a banger, Dan Day.
One of my favorites.
Great song. Yeah, man. Warren Zevon. Brian Flores had his press conference today, as one every Monday, and we're going to get some reaction from Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. So we'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We have a little bit of a disagreement, Bees. Crowder thinks that the thumb issue with Tua is helpful for Brian Flores because it allows him to be playing Fitzpatrick, and as long as there's a thumb issue, he doesn't have to answer any questions or doesn't really have to make any hard decisions. I think the opposite. I think this thumb issue is creating a problem because it's not a major, I don't think, injury. It didn't sound like it from his press conference. And so I believe this is creating something that really wasn't there until Brian Flores started to create it. And now I think it's going to potentially blow up into something because, you know, if Tua doesn't play this Sunday against Cincinnati and the Dolphins win, and then they're, you know, really in the playoff hunt, do you bring Tua back? What do you make of this thumb situation?
No, I think you both are a bit right. I think in their heart of hearts, the people in that building know that Ryan Fitzpatrick right now, I'm not talking about 2021, I'm not talking about even maybe 2 months from now, but right now Ryan Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance to win. And as coaches, that is their number one priority. But Flores said it all last year when we thought they were trying to lose. Like, no, I'm trying to go out and win every week. And they, you know, he made decisions from a playing time standpoint, you know, like playing Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of Josh Rosen, that made it harder for them to get the number one pick. So, you know, I think there's some conflict right now, you know, internally. I still think Tua Tagovailoa's job will be there waiting for him when he gets better because they see the bigger picture and they see that they're not going to win the Super Bowl in 2020. Anyway, so they might make the decision that, hey, if we cost ourselves the number 7 seed, but we get a full and fair evaluation and development of our number 5 overall pick, that might be a trade-off we're willing to make. But you're right. You're absolutely right that if we get to Sunday night and Fitz goes out there and throws, you know, 3 touchdowns and 300 yards and they win going away against Cincinnati, and Devontae Parker has buck 20 again, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to turn away from the guy who right now is the better player. I'm not saying he's going to be the better pro long term, but right now he's the better player because he's 120 years old and he's seen everything. It's going to be tough to look those players in the eye in that locker room and say, hey, it's been fun. We're 8-4. Now let's cross our fingers and hope the rookie can get us over the finish line.
And B's to the point about them going back and forth where the offense ran smooth and, you know, I compared it to playing a middle school team. The Jets are terrible, so hell, I think the evaluation is offset, B's, because the Jets, both sides of the ball, they're dumb as hell. Greg Williams and Adam Gase don't know what they're doing right now with this team. But is it the same offense? Like, does Fitzy just have a better understanding of what to look at, where to go? Is Tua and Fitzy running the exact same offense? Because Fitzy looks better at it, to be honest.
Well, we've seen that obviously Fitz takes the downfield shots that Tua does not. The question I don't have an answer for, and they're not exactly forthcoming with this information standing, is are those same plays being called? And Tua is just refusing to throw those 50-50 balls at Devontae that really aren't 50-50 balls because Devontae is one of the best players in the league and going up and getting that ball. That's what I don't know. But this offense, as it's currently constructed, guys, cannot function without those routes being thrown, and those passes being thrown. They don't have the type of personnel they need to run a different style of offense. They just don't. It's the reason you're seeing them try to work in Antonio Callaway, and they wanted a bigger role for Malcolm Perry yesterday before he got hurt because, you know, they're trying to have some variety and some exotic play calls that isn't just, you know, an alley-oop dunk to the Gesicki or Devontae Parker, which is really what their offense has been, at least under Fitz. I think that's the biggest reason why Tua has not had the production that Fitz has. That Fitz knows, hey, I can throw back shoulder to Devontae anytime he's in one-on-one coverage, and Tua is a little bit more cautious. And there are obviously benefits to being cautious. He has not thrown the ball over aside from the fumble in his first snap, I think, in his first start. Fitz kind of turns the ball over because he takes chances. But, you know, I'll leave it to you guys. It's kind of a crazy question. What's worse, going three and out five times in six drives or throwing a pick in the end zone? I mean, that's right now seems to be the dilemma this Dolphins offense has, because Tua is not going to make the mistake that kills you, but he's really not stretching the field either, and he's making it easier for defenses to key on what they do. It's a tough question. I don't think it's going to be resolved until they retool their personnel in the offseason and they get players that really fit what Tua does best. I think losing Albert Wilson to an opt-out, losing Allen Hurns to an opt-out, these are skill position players that, while they're not Pro Bowlers, they are more in tune to what Tua does well than Gesicki and Devontae Parker, and you see why their production dips when Tua is in the game. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're by and large the same system for Tua and for Fitz. It's just that the system doesn't really fit Tua as much because he's more of a precision, timing kind of guy, and Fitz is just a, hey, let's throw the ball down the field and cross our fingers.
What do we know of this thumb injury? Do we know much about it?
Well, we know that as of Thanksgiving morning when we talked to Flores, he didn't think it was a big deal at all. So NFL Network reported that there's some swelling. There is a little bit of instability, but it's not like surgery is on the horizon, and you know, he could conceivably play this weekend. He may not. Sadly, we haven't had a chance to talk to Tua about it since last Wednesday when I guess it happened. So we don't know the specifics. But you're right, though. I mean, it's a terrible time for this kind of thing to come up. For a team that wants to develop and build their franchise around the number five pick in the draft, you pray for an opportunity for that quarterback to be grabbing the reins of the offense in December. All this experience he's going to have, this mental capital he's going to amass by going through what's going to be a tough month. I mean, you look at how their schedule, you know, Cincinnati's a joke, but after that, they play three playoff teams in 4 weeks, and the fourth opponent is the New England Patriots. I mean, really, you could say it's a playoff game every single week after this week. That would be fantastic for a young quarterback to go through. And, yes, he probably would struggle, and there would be some games that he'd lose that maybe Fitz wouldn't, but they would be able to bank on that in 2020 and beyond when this roster is fully formed. And I think we need to take a step back and consider this, guys. We're a year ahead of schedule, right? I mean, this is not supposed to be where this team is right now. Last year was supposed to be 1-15, 2-14, maybe 3-13 because the roster was so bad. They got Fitz hot and they won five games. This year was supposed to be the next step forward. Hey, maybe we can get to 500. Let's develop our quarterback. We have a lot of young pieces. We've got three rookies in the offensive line. They're not supposed to be 7-4 and probably going to be 8-4 at this point. So they fast-forwarded their rebuild, which is awesome. But I also think in the NFL, you're not guaranteed anything in the future. You're not guaranteed to be 7-4 next year. There are a ton of teams out there in the NFL that have more talent than the Dolphins do today that are 4-7, 3-8, 5-6, because the NFL is a fluky league, and sometimes you get injuries, and sometimes your quarterback goes through a slump. So I do think they can't just say, oh, we'll be back next year. Let's just let the kid take his knocks and get his experience, and if we finish up 8-8 and miss the playoffs, so be it. No, there are a ton of people in that locker room who might never be this close to the playoffs again. And I think Brian Flores, Chris Greer, that organization owes it to those players to give them the best chance to win.
And Bees, I'll tell you that my opinion, the best running back on the Dolphins active roster yesterday was DeAndre Washington. He, by far, I believe, because Matt Breida, he does not run behind his pads. Now he's starting to fumble. He's turning the ball over. Patrick Laird turned the ball over. They already cut Jordan Howard. Did they miss on this running back? Like, did they miss on these free agent running backs? Because Jordan's already cut, and Matt Breida did not impress me at all.
Oh, totally. You know, you can say you can count off a lot of things that Greer did right in the offseason, and certainly they had a lot of free agent hits, and their draft seems to be pretty good. Running back was a total whiff. I mean, when you cut a guy who's over $4 million just to get him out of the building, and then the other guy you traded, what was a fifth-round pick to acquire, he's playing behind a dude that couldn't sniff the field in Kansas City. Now, obviously, Kansas City is the best team in the league, in my opinion, but he couldn't sniff the field in Kansas City, and now all of a sudden he's your featured back. Yeah, it's fair to call it a miss. And I'll tell you this, I think they have like 4 picks next year, probably in the top 50, maybe the top 55, something like that. One of those 4 picks has to be a running back. It has to be. They have to position themselves in a way to get an impactful running back because they really haven't had it. I mean, you could say Kenyon Drake maybe, you know, was an impactful guy and they gave him away for a bag of donuts. And certainly Jay Ajayi got them to the playoffs in 2016. But they really haven't had that top elite bell cow running back since obviously Ajayi, and he was a 1-year wonder. They're going to have to address that position in the offseason. You can't. This is 2 years in a row now, guys, that they basically think, hey, whatever we got running back, we can make it work. Well, it didn't work last year because Ryan Fitzpatrick was your leading rusher. And it's not working this year because you cut the guy you gave $4 million to and you're not playing the guy you gave up a fifth-round pick for. Something has gone wrong. Now, you can credit the organization for, you know, having the courage to admit their mistakes, not playing guys that they overpaid. That's great. That's all well and good. I'd rather decisions be made correctly the first time around. I think they're going to use a draft pick to get it right.
Man, I thought Patrick Laird was that dude. Anyone else? Anyone up until yesterday? No? Not so much? Not so much. Yeah, lonely there on the bench. Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald is with us. So really just to encapsulate here, because we know that they've got running back issues, right? And now they're kind of juggling quarterbacks. Preston Williams is injured, and you mentioned it. Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns opted out before the season, so Devontae's been good, Gesicki's been good. Are they overperforming again the way that they did at the end of last season? I mean, they're in the thick of the playoff hunt. This is all Flores then, right? Again.
Well, it's also Xavier Howard, okay?
True.
True. Yeah, they fifth, I think, in turnover differential, and they're top 5 or top 10 in both fumbles and interceptions. If this team didn't have, and they're the best, let's not kid ourselves, that is the best special teams unit in the NFL. And I know I talk about special teams, and most of your listeners' eyes are going to glaze over. But the way their special teams have come up with bang plays, you know, Jakeem Grant with a touchdown, Van Ginkel with a block punt, but that doesn't even capture what they do in a play-to-play basis. They're top 5 in kick and punt return coverage, kick and punt return offense. I mean, they do so much right on special teams. Throw in an opportunistic defense. Honestly, guys, this is crazy to say, but if they had even close to competent offensive performance, and yesterday was okay, it wasn't great, but you look at their stats over the last month and a half, and they're just terrible. If they were close to just competent, if they were middle of the pack, this would be a team I think you could really consider making a run in the playoffs like the Titans did last year, because while offensively they are limited, they would be limited in that situation, they are so, so good right now on situational defense, third downs, red zone, fourth down. I mean, golly, they're probably the best fourth down defense in the National Football League right now. They do all those things that you just look, oh, they're 29th in offense and 24th in defense. How is this a good team? Those stats are terrible. Yards don't mean anything. It's all situations and how you go about impacting the games in winning times. And they do that on defense and special teams. If they could get anything from the offense right now, they'd be one of the more dangerous teams in the AFC.
And B's on the way out, man. I got to ask you, because Brian Flores ran from this question during we listened to the press conference. He ran from it, but you're not going to run from it, B. That's why I love you. Is it fair what the damn NFL did to the Broncos on Sunday and what they're about to do to the Ravens on Tuesday? Like, is it fair how the NFL's dealing with teams that they deem that didn't take the right precaution to keep their players safe? Bro, the Broncos had a damn scout team receiver playing quarterback.
Hey, pretty
it's
easy
unfair
fix. Wear a mask.
The teams, it's unfair to the players. The NFL talks about, you know, player safety and health is our number one concern. That is ridiculous. These players have not had any kind of football action in 8 days now. It'll be 9 days tomorrow. They haven't practiced since last Saturday, the Ravens were talking about. To ask them to go play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are going for perfection, by the way, tomorrow night, is a complete sham. It's a travesty. The NFL does not – here's what it comes down to. The NFL does not want to get off of its 17-week, 256-game schedule. They want to have week one of the playoffs, the second weekend of January. They want to have the Super Bowl the first Sunday in February, and they want that all to be nice and tidy. Well, you know what?
So
it ain't 2019, okay? It's 2020. Everything is jacked up this year. And if you're going to look us in the eye and say with a straight face, we worry about player safety, and then ask 53 guys from the Baltimore Ravens to do one of the most dangerous sports on the planet with no preparation at all, I mean, forget about the catastrophic injuries that could suffer. Just the minor soft tissue stuff while your body is not being ready to play because you haven't done anything in a week and a half. It's totally unfair. It's totally greed-driven. And they're just trying to get to the finish line. They see the finish line 5 weeks away. Let's not push back the season. Let's end it on time. Hey, and if the Ravens lose 52-0, so be it. It's the cost of business. It is totally unfair to the organization, and certainly what we saw yesterday in Denver was totally unfair to everybody. I mean, thankfully, it's not.
I was more interested in that
I'm
game than
you.
I've ever
I'm,
been.
I'm with you,
fair.
Bees. Keep going, Bees. I'm with you.
I thought it was very fair. Hey, wear a mask. You wear a mask, then the contact tracing comes around. You won't get dinged for it.
What you got, Bees?
Sorry, no, Brett Rippin. People need to see your face, Brett Rippin. Out of here with that. Wear a mask. All right, Adam Beasley.
I'm as COVID cautious as it gets. But come on, if you have 15 straight negative tests, these guys don't have COVID. Let them play the game.
Adam Beasley, look at that, Adam Beasley, Dr. Adam Beasley. Here from the Miami Herald. Thanks for making time for us. Breaking down the press conference and the Dolphins for us, Bees.
All right, guys, get ready for the playoffs.
There you go. Yeah, Jack, I'm ready. Crowder doesn't want to have him. Crowder wants everything to stop. I'm ready for the playoffs. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
I love pig feet.
I love hog mole.
Hock and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.